Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews, chapter 2. There's a lot of things that we neglect in life. Some things need to be neglected, and some things do not need to be neglected. Amen. In your home life, I'm sure there's things you wish your husband or your wife would do, but they've neglected to do so. We're not going to have a testimony service about it. But we must not neglect God, our Father, our Savior. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, let's notice the scriptures. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, your blessings upon the ministry of the Word today, that you would talk to the hearts of people as only you can do. And now, Lord, we just commit this, Lord, to you, to your purpose, your will, and your plan. The will of God be accomplished through the ministry of the Word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We must not neglect God. And you may say, well, I never planned on neglecting him. Sadly, that many people have. They neglect worship on Sunday. They neglect just to serve God, to ever read his word, to ever concentrate upon him, ever pray. And so we must not neglect God, because our next breath, our next heartbeat depends on him. It's an act of his grace to give it to us. Amen. In the natural, in our humanity, we neglect things that need our attention. And too often we'll say, well, I'll put it off till later. I'll just, when I have a better time, I'll do this. This happened in Scripture as the Apostle Paul was talking to the governor Felix. And Paul, the Apostle, testified to him talking about in Acts 24:25, now he's the reason about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. That's not something Felix wanted to hear. It says, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now, and when I have a convenient time, I will call for you. I don't know if he ever found a convenient time, but now is a day of salvation. Today is a day of grace. Praise the Lord. So we must not neglect God in whatever he wants us to do. And the writer of Hebrews is speaking to Hebrew Christians, people who had come out of Judaism, who had come out of a lifestyle of offering sacrifices, animal sacrifices for their sin. They come to faith in Christ, believing he was the perfect sacrifice, the only sacrifice, the only blood that could be shed that would atone for sins. But they were tempted many ways to go back to Judaism and rely on animal sacrifices instead of Christ. So this letter was written to them to correct them and to show that Christ is greater, Christ is better than angels, Christ is better than Old Testament sacrifices, Christ is better than the law. And so that's the one thing, one word that describes Hebrew, God is better. Christ's sacrifice is better. Amen. And so in the scripture here, it says in the first verse, we must give the earnest heed, more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away or let them slip, in the old King James. And so we must give the more earnest heed, we must give the strictest attention to the things which you have heard, whether they had heard directly from the Lord Jesus or from the apostles, or from reading scripture on their own, or hearing God's word taught or preached, they must give the more earnest heed to the things that were spoken. Today we pay great attention to many things. We pay great attention to the news, the latest things. And we want to hear about this, that, or the other. We want to hear what's happening on the woke front. Better woke back. Did that rhyme? Anyway, we want to hear about all the latest news, the latest things, who's doing this and who's doing what. But we must give the most earnest heed to the things spoken by God. Okay? So Proverbs 20 and 12 says, God has given us the hearing ear and the seeing eye. The Lord has made them both. But God expects us to use them properly, what we listen to and what we look at. And that could be a whole sermon right there about what we listen to and what we look at. Because we can look at ungodly things today. We can look at good things today. We need to concentrate upon that which is holy and pure and true. And here, the lest we drift away, it is used to mean to flow as does a river flows, to glide away, to escape as from the mind, to forget and to glide along. And the enemy of your soul wants you just to glide along with the sins of our world. He wants your faith to come to a shipwreck. Saw a sign billboard the other day, it said car wreck lawyers. Of course, they want your money to make money off of whatever your case was. But it is possible that some of those to whom the apostle was writing had heard the Lord Jesus himself preach the gospel. Others had heard the same truth declared by the apostles. And now Christ had died, rose again from the dead, sent it back to the Heavenly Father, so they could no longer hear Jesus preach personally to them, but through his word, which is powerful, and it was him speaking. But it says we ought to give the more earnest heed, the greatest attention, lest we drift away. You know, people drift from the truth, usually not suddenly, not all of a sudden, but just little by little they drift away from God, and they're no longer interested in the things of God. And they can say stuff like, oh, I've heard all that before. I grew up in church, I've heard all that before, and I remember what they said, and so I don't need to hear it again, all that. No. We need to hear it again. The ancient Greek phrase for drifting away comes from the ideas to slip. It was used like an arrow slipping from a quiver, or this is maybe more identifiable. Drifting away or slipping, like food slipping down the windpipe to cause choking. And we can drift away, slip away, that we become choked with things of this world till there's no room for the good things to go down. I know that's figure of speech using there, but the Hebrew believers were in danger of drifting away from the new covenant, and that would be salvation through the blood of Christ. They were tempted, it's not a temptation to us, but they were tempted to go back to believing in the blood of animal sacrifices and all the rituals that they went through in the Old Testament law. And by that, they would be rejecting Christ as the perfect sacrifice and his precious blood to atone for sin. They were drifting. And gradually they began to go back into what they were before Christ saved them. How many today have died, sadly, but they died and they drifted back into the sins that God once saved them from, but they drifted back in and began to do the same thing over and over again until they died without Christ and died lost. You don't want that to happen to you. So we must give them more earnest heed to the things which are spoken, lest we drift away. Okay? And drifting isn't something that's sudden or something unnoticed. It's gradual. Here the Hebrew believers were beginning to drift back away from faith in Christ and His work at the cross. I don't know how anybody can drift from that, but they were tempted to. And they would go and drifted to go back into salvation by the and justification by the works of the law. And they thought they could work their way enough and become good enough somehow or another to be accepted by God in heaven. But I want to tell you something. It's by grace that we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so there's nothing to go back to. There's no greater thing to go back to and say, well, you know, we had it better back then. If you had it without Christ back then, you didn't have it better. You had it awful. But when you come to Christ, God give you some reason to live, something to live for, and someone to live for, and some goal to reach, and some eternal life that He's got for you. Praise the Lord. But it's difficult to abandon things you have been taught all your life. Many people have been taught wonderful, good things all their life, taught the Word of God all their life, and lived for God all their life. Great for that. I read sometime back, about many years after World War II had ended, there were still some people in the Philippine Islands who did not know the war had ended and was over. And they thought the war was still going on. It had to be explained to them, hey, this ended a long time ago. There's no more war with Japan or Germany. But when you hear it over and over again, it's hard to erase what was in your past or what it just wants to come up again. And the sin that you thought you enjoyed before really didn't bring any enjoyment at all, but the same temptations come back because, you see, the devil is not real bright. He wants to bring back things that God saved you out of. Yeah, he's a supernatural being. He's no more smarter than you and I, but he's not smarter than the God we serve. And so the writer here had the idea of a boat drifting by the wind, and something that drifts that did not have an anchor to something solid. Winds, currents could cause a boat to shift and go a different direction that it was scheduled to go. But the spiritual danger is drifting away from the truth and accepting modern definitions of sin and accepting another gospel and not to be anchored in Scripture. But my friend, we want to be anchored by the Word of God, and we want to have our faith in what God said, not what somebody else came up with, and not some other book that somebody else wrote, but in God and His Word, to be anchored in Him. An old song came out of the Reformation, on Christ a solid rock I stand, all underground is sinking sand. And so a believer must be anchored to Christ, to belief in the truth, the resurrection, the second coming of Christ. And this will keep us from drifting to every form of false doctrine. There's many other gospels out there. Somebody's always coming up with some sort of interpretation of Scripture. It's not interpretation of Scripture at all, but they say it is, and say, well, this is a better way, this is an easier way, this doesn't cost you quite as much, and you can be comfortable here, and you can just sin all you want to and get away with it, and you'll be okay and just enjoy life and enjoy the sinful nature. My friend, when we come to the realization there's nothing in the sinful nature to enjoy, it all leads to death, to a devil's hell. We need to live for God, serve God, make the choice to get up and follow Christ, and let nothing cause us to drift away from the truth which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the believer must be securely anchored. Anchored to our faith in Christ as the author and the finisher of our faith. And the hope of Christ, Hebrews 6:19 says, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into the presence behind the veil. Christ did it all at Calvary so that we could have perfect fellowship with Him. Also, we see that people backslide when they neglect. And this gospel, or this book of Hebrews, is written as an encouragement and a warning to discouraged Christians. It was written to those who neglected an abiding walk with Jesus. And people neglect to follow in the natural, follow doctor's orders for food and medicine and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes they're a bit ridiculous. You know, you're supposed to not lift anything over 5 pounds. I'm a weightlifter. I lift about 220 pounds every time I stand up. But to follow the doctor's order, you know, and all that, you know, people neglect to do things, and some things are good. I'm not saying all doctor's orders are wrong or not. But believers, we must not neglect to continually remember what it took to give us freedom from our sin and what it took to pay for our sins. And it took sinless, pure blood from a sinless Lamb of God to pay for our sin. That's what it took. And for the only way to there to be sinless blood in humanity is for God to become a man, which He did in Christ. But neglect. People neglect to pray, neglect to worship, neglect fellowship with God and say, I just don't have time. I'll do that when a better time comes along, but a better time never comes along. God has given you time now. He has given everything to make fellowship and communion possible to the believer. God has sent His Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if I'll go away, I'll pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, helper, counselor, that He may abide with you forever. And so we know that God sent His Holy Spirit for us to have a continual relationship with Christ and for us to stay anchored to Him. Amen. And God sent His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit is called a Spirit of Truth. And if we don't have communion with God continually, we begin to believe just about anything. But if we stay anchored in Christ and in Him, we'll continue to believe the truth and the truth of the gospel and the truth of the Word of God instead of what the world defines as truth. How can we neglect Him who holds our next breath in His hands? How can we neglect Him who gives us our next heartbeat? How can we neglect Him who gives us hope and love and life and eternal life and eternal peace in our hearts and our souls now? We cannot neglect Him. To do so is to neglect eternity and the gospel. An Old Testament example of not neglecting our walk with God is a person that little is said about, but what is said about is powerful, and that is the man Enoch. Enoch is an example of not neglecting his walk with God, and very little is said about Enoch in the Bible, but what is said is so powerful. And we see Enoch back before the flood. You say, well, that was a long time ago. Yes, it was. But it was the same world, the same temptations in the world, same devil he had to fight against. But he lived in a world that was fastly approaching judgment. Just the judgment of the flood was just coming very soon. But Enoch did not neglect his relationship with God. And Enoch begat the oldest man mentioned in Scripture, Methuselah, lived 969 years. He's an old codger. But Genesis 5:22, after he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. See, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And not much is said about him other than that, but he walked with God. He continued his relationship with the Lord, even with the evils that were coming, even judgment was certain to come upon the world, and knowing that sin would perish, and or people would be perished because of the flood, and that there would be a global judgment, yet he walked with God. He said, I don't care if anybody else lives for God or not, I'm going to. I know who God is. I know that he's real. I know I can have a relationship with him. I know that I'm going to walk with him, talk with him. He's going to be charge of my life. He's going to be the one that I'm going to give to in my life to, and I'm going to trust him to take care of me. And Enoch walked with God. The only other thing that's said about him is the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5 where it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. What a testimony. And he lived for God and served God and God took him to heaven. He's one of two people in the Bible that went to heaven without death. He may be one of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation that are raptured after their ministry on earth. I don't know. But we know that he had this testimony that he pleased God. He didn't neglect his relationship with God. As we bring this to a close today, let's understand that Jesus did not neglect us. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Jesus did not neglect to finish the work of redemption so that you, whoever you are today, me, you, could be saved and on our way to heaven instead of on our way to eternal judgment. And so, God spared nothing, did not spare his own son, because he wanted to save this one, save that one, to save anyone, to save the worst of sinners, save the person who was least likely needed God's grace, according to humanity. But in reality, everybody here needs God's grace. And it's by grace that we're saved, and without grace, nobody's saved. But the grace of God that bringeth the grace of God that came to humanity was for us. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from every lawless deed. God did a great work in us. He loved us when we were not lovable. You say, well, I've always been pretty lovely. No, you hadn't. But God loved you anyway, and God loved me anyway, in spite of what we think of each other. And what do you think, preacher? I think you're saved by grace just like I am, by the grace of God. Thank Father. And so we don't want to drift away from God. A Philippian jailer asked Paul the apostle. Paul and Silas were in prison for preaching the gospel. And as they began to, they were there fastened in stocks and bonds, and they were not in a comfortable position. They were in the most bound place in a Philippian jail that you could be. Feet fastened in stocks and bonds. Can you imagine that? Not comfortable at all. And Paul looks over at Silas and says, let's sing. I'm sure you're thinking, sing about what? Look what the shape we're in. But you know, the Bible says as they begin to pray and sing praises, the shackles fell off. They were no longer bound. And the jailer, you know, he's under the threat of death if any prisoner escaped. But all the prisoners that were loose, they could have all run if they wanted to and escaped jail. But the Philippian jailer got under conviction. He came to Paul and Silas. What must I do to be saved? Maybe the question was,
what must I do to be lost?
What must I do to be lost?
That also has an answer.
That also has an answer.
Nothing. To do nothing is quite
to do nothing is
enough
quite
to be driven
enough
by the
to be
current
driven
to the
by
world,
the current
the
of the
flesh,
world,
and
the flesh,
drift
and the
away.
Devil, and to drift away. But we know that the Philippian
jailer was saved, baptized, and his whole household came to Christ.
And so
let's not neglect our salvation, not play around with sin.
Sin wants to enslave you.
But God wants you to stay free.
Not only to be free from sin, but to stay free.
Amen.
Amen.
And whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
You shall know the truth.
The truth shall make you free.
Jesus is the truth.
Amen.
Amen.